the reason why clients are willing to spend money with us and trust us with their initiative is because we are focused on helping them get to their outcome.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Just 7 years ago, Advanced Technology Group was a two-person business technology consulting firm operating out of a basement in Missoula, Montana. Today, ATG has a growing employment base of over 130 people in its quote-to-cash billing solutions center. Big changes are on the horizon now that ATG has been acquired by Cognizant, one of the top 10 fastest-growing information technology companies in the world. Today on Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we are joined by ATG veterans Claude Samory and Kim Corwin to discuss how you build a global company footprint from a small mountain town in Montana. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Welcome, Kim and Claude. It's good to see you today.
Thanks for having us.
So for our listeners, tell me what ATG, Advanced Technology Group, does.
Sure. I'll take first crack at it, and Kim can add on to it as well. Advanced Technology Group, we're a bunch of business consultants. We help businesses that are growing and thriving or looking to expand into new markets. We help them put together their systems and technology and processes that help them scale and grow. So everything from managing their customers and knowing who you are, Arnie, you know, as a customer to somebody like ATG or to somebody like one of our clients, as well as capturing the revenue. So if you're paying a bill or making a transaction or buying something from one of these companies, we help them optimize and install those systems.
And we do this through project managers, business analysts, implementation consultants. We have a whole team that will go in and work on these types of projects.
In your literature, you talk about quote to cash services. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, it is kind of a version of what I just described. It's everything from when you present a potential customer with a quote of something they might buy, and then the process of negotiating through that. Arnie, you don't like the price that I proposed, you don't like the terms we're negotiating, to the point where we shake hands and have a transaction, and to the point where you start paying your bill. That is quote to cash. It's the full life cycle of managing a customer through buying something from your company.
And do you have proprietary technology that you deploy to manage this process for clients?
Yeah, so we do have some proprietary technology. Most of what we use, though, are software companies and offerings that are out there on the market now, but we customize them and tailor them for companies' environments.
So how does the Missoula Solution Center fit into the overall ATG operation? And then how does that fit in to the parent company, Cognizant?
Yeah, our Missoula office is actually the largest office that we have nationwide. We have our headquarters are split between Kansas City and St. Louis. And then we also have an office in Cincinnati, and we have a presence all around the world, actually, with our consultants. But Missoula is by far the largest. And one of the advantages to being in Missoula, which I know has a lot to do with the Cognizant acquisition, are our people. We have the University of Montana. We work extremely close with professors over there and get programs spun up. But more than anything, you just have a Montana work ethic through the people that we interview and that we hire, and it brings something really special. So I know that this is a major puzzle piece to the ATG story.
Both of you are University of Montana graduates.
Yep, that's right.
Correct.
How many of your employees, I think you're over 130 employees now, how many are UM graduates?
We just hit our milestone of 100. We had 100 that have either been interns or working part-time or salaried consultants.
Can you find the talent that you need for a global company like yours in Missoula?
Easily. And we've been doing it. So I mentioned the people, and the people that we hire are very specific. We don't go and say you have to have a technical background of X, Y, and Z in order to work at ATG. We look for specific attributes of these people, their work ethic, their ability to communicate, their ability to work with ambiguous tasks. And we want to work with people that like to be in teams and that like to continue learning. And we find that very easily here at the university and also just in town.
Yeah, and maybe to add on a little bit too, Missoula, I mean, just attracts so many incredible people. So you've got this really unique blend of people that were born and raised in the state that have gone through the university system that become excellent leaders of business. And you also have folks that have moved here for the quality of life that Missoula provides. It's a lot of our story, you know, folks that have moved here. And those are very passionate people about the community and about the work that they do. And so they actually become great talent for us as well.
When you do have to reach outside the Missoula community or even outside of Montana, do you have to offer some special package to attract people to come here?
Missoula is the package that we offer. In fact, more often than not, like Claude had mentioned, it's people that want to be or want to relocate or move back to Missoula. And that's probably one of our best driving forces. We don't have this big glamorous relocation package. We have the fact that you can go to work and within 5 minutes be at the base of a mountain, go hiking, take your dogs for a walk, be on the river, you name it.
Getting back to the parent company for a moment and your overall business, who are your competitors?
As ATG, which we've been up until about just over a month ago, we were taking on some pretty big companies, but it was mostly other boutique consultancies, folks that were about 200, 300, 400 people in size, and that really specialized on something. Joining Cognizant, they bought us because of that specialty. But now we're competing against all of the big consulting companies that you would have heard of, you know, global consulting companies that do the work that we do.
Cognizant, while a global company, has most of its employees outside of the United States. I think a majority of the employees are in India. Mm-hmm. Is there an India culture that permeates what they do, or are you really sort of a self-contained, wholly owned operation?
Maybe two answers to that. We are a wholly owned, self-contained operation that absolutely intersects with the parent company. Headquarters for Cognizant is in New Jersey, and they've got tens of thousands of employees here in the States. But you're right, majority are overseas. But that's really true of any of the global consulting companies that are out there now. It's just how the global economics have really played out. What we're seeing a lot of, though, is a big move to re-onshore a lot of talent. There's companies that want to work with not only global delivery centers, but then have nucleus of delivery centers here in the United States, and which is one of the reasons why Cognizant was really attracted to ATG, and as Kim said, specifically to Missoula. We've got a special model here of how to scale domestic on-site talent.
Can you give me an example of why a company needs you?
Yeah. We work with very successful companies, and along their journey to success, they've probably created their own systems to manage customer and their own systems to manage their revenue and their money and their financial operations. But as they've scaled up, they've either wanted to go public and needed to hold up to an audit, which is where we come in to help them, you know, re-engineer their systems so they can stand up to those kind of events. Or they're merging or being acquired or acquiring other companies, and they need more robust systems than what they've currently got. The other thing that we see is, you know, they want to go after a new marketplace, and to stand up the systems that it takes to manage customers and revenue by themselves is too much of a distraction where they couldn't go after that market opportunity. So we really become an extension of their teams to allow them to facilitate the vision that they have to go seize a new market or a new geography or acquire or exit any of those kind of business events that happen.
So what was it about what you offer and what you've developed that was attractive to Cognizant? Did they come after you? Was this acquisition planned? Was it positioned? You know, how did it come about?
Yeah. You know, over the last 6 years or so, we hit a really hot stride. ATG became quite world famous in the services that we are offering in this type of consulting that we do around quote to cash. And over the years, actually, quite a few people came knocking, and we'd always been tempted and said, no, we wanted to continue on our own way. And it finally came time to take those offers seriously. So Cognizant was one of the companies in that mix. And truth be told, was a company that we weren't too sure where they're going to sort into the deck, but they absolutely came out on top through the process. And we got to see a lot of hands, a lot of different offers and structures. And this was the most compelling for our people and for the business opportunity that we want to continue to go after.
And they want to keep you the way you are, essentially.
Right. The name, the edge, the place in the market that we've developed, the way that we operate, the way that we recruit, hire, train, all of those things are very unique. And definitely Cognizant sees that, and it's in their best interest to leave the ATG brand kind of somewhat autonomous. More than that, I think we're all living through this now. They really want to adopt a lot of the things that ATG's done and incorporate them into how they build other delivery centers and how they interact with their clients in different arenas not just quote to cash.
Tom Sturgis started this in his basement in 2007. In 2011, was two employees. You both came on shortly thereafter. Did you have any idea when you came on that this is where you would be in 2018?
I had zero idea. I really thought I was going to be a secretary there, and I'd be happy with 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where the journey was going to take us, but I certainly saw a lot of promise in the team that we had. When I first met the ATG crew and Tom, and you know, there's only a handful or two handfuls of us, but to look around that room and to see, and I think this points to kind of the entrepreneurial culture that we have, but everybody was committed. Everybody was committed to putting ATG on the map. Everybody was committed to doing business differently than other people had done it. We were committed to being that scrappy, do it better than others kind of mentality. So I always knew we were going to lead somewhere very, very special. This wasn't just going to be your standard company. This was going to be something special, and that's what we've turned into.
Let me drill down a little bit on do it better than others. What does that really mean operationally?
Well, it means a lot of things. I think operationally is just one layer to it. I think from a vision and from a culture perspective first, I think it started there. And that was a lot of Tom's influence, frankly. And it's a lot of the vision that we've all adopted and kind of carried forward. But to treat people right, the you know nice people finish first, the biggest pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is doing things the right way. That's kind of where part of it started. But then it was easy to look across the global ecosystem of folks that were doing consulting and pinpoint the areas that clients didn't like, you know, where it was just static and it was business as normal. You did it because that's the way it's always been done. And we actually sought out to turn that on its head. And we communicated as much to all of our clients, and they really, really liked that model. And we still continue with that today.
I want to switch gears and learn more about Kim and Claude. So Kim, you are Director of Production Success and Expert Services. What does that mean?
That's a great question. I get to work with our clients after they are utilizing the system that has been implemented. And I have a team that I work really closely with that provides that tier one and tier two ticketing support. So after they're live and on their new configure price quote or billing solution, whatever that might be, they send questions in and we have a team that fields those. In addition, through the expert services area, we actually provide experts that will support partners and clients as they're in the middle of their own implementation. So I oversee that and work really closely with all the clients and partners and the relationships, a lot of our vendors. And then the other piece of it that doesn't really fall within my title, but I've always been doing, is actually the recruiting aspect here in Missoula. So I work really closely with our recruiting team, Holly Foster, Megan Damro, Tom Sturgis as well. And we work closely with the university and on all the new hires and programs that we can spin up.
In talking with potential recruits, what are you looking for? What stands out to you?
We have a set of core values that we live by and we truly mean. And when we're talking to candidates and we're having these conversations, you can really see when somebody fits in and has that do the right thing mentality, people first. These are the people we want to work with. The rest can be taught. We would rather go more after soft skills and have somebody learn a new technology and become an expert in that area versus go and seek out those that have the technology expertise and then try to train the soft skills. So we really look for people that are just genuinely good people and want to learn and want to add value and want to make a difference and want to help ATG continue going forward toward whatever that next big thing is.
Previous guests we've had on the show, we've had a number of women entrepreneurs who've talked about the difficulty recruiting women to technology companies. What's been your experience?
You know, it's been mixed. Something that's really unique, I think, about ATG is about 3 years ago, we had a conversation. We were just looking around the room and we said, where are the women? We've had some amazing candidates through the years, both male and female, but we went through a spell where the women just weren't applying. And so through that, we actually created an initiative called ATG She, which stands for Successful, Happy, and Equal. And the entire purpose of that was threefold. One, we wanted to have a networking opportunity. Two, we wanted to do something philanthropic and educational. But three, we wanted to have an avenue where women within technology could be supported and appropriately begin to advance their career and have the right network of mentorship to do that. And that's through men and women. And since starting ATG She, we have it was last year, beginning of the year, 7 or 8 of our new hires all were female. And it got to the point where we kind of looked around and we were like, okay, now where are the guys? But it was just really powerful because they were seeing women in positions that traditionally has been a male-dominated role, and they realized I can do that too. And so I think that has been a lot of our success with hiring and retaining top women and men.
I don't want to leave you out, Claude. Tell me about your background.
Sure. Been in Montana about 8 years. I've been in a number of different industries. And actually, when I started at ATG, it was the first time in this industry. So it was kind of coming from a pretty cold place from an experience perspective. But then along the journey, started working with Tom, Kim, Holly, the rest of our crew. It's a phenomenal nucleus to the company. And really scaled through an individual contributor role and doing consulting myself, sales myself, and then into more of the leadership and more of the guidance and leadership of the company.
And you're a vice president now.
Correct. Yeah, vice president of business development and alliances. So how we think about partnering with other people around us, how we partner with the software vendors we work with, and how we present our services, how we want to go to market.
I understand the recruiting of talent. Missoula has a story you can tell, the skiing and, the location in the Rocky Mountains. But working with vendors and potential customers, is there something you have to do to make Montana competitive in their minds with the companies that are coming out of the big markets?
Not really. And again, it points back to our team because of the way that we interact, right? We're on the first phone call when somebody meets us and we say, we're ATG, nice to meet you. And they say, we're XYZ company, nice to meet you too. Really from that moment on, I think our experience, our character, the people, what we do, what we know about our industry shines through. And any bias or misconception that they may have had about a company that's in Montana goes away right away. Truth be told, though, it usually works the opposite way. It's unique. It's different. There's a story to it. We're an active intellectual college town that's got a good quality of life, and we can do global work here and might as well do it anywhere. But, say happy cows make happy cheese. They used to have those commercials for California. It's happy people make really good consultants in Montana. It's different than being cooped up in the Bay Area or cooped up in Seattle or Denver or Boston or anywhere else. Missoula actually facilitates what we do.
Kim, you mentioned earlier that you came on board as a secretary. 6 years later, you're doing all sorts of other things that are far removed from that. What prepared you for the role you have now?
Well, so I actually didn't start as a secretary, but I thought that's what I was applying for. I had no idea. And I think the thing that prepared me the most was I got a degree at the University of Montana in organizational communication studies with an emphasis in rhetoric. And I graduated in 2009 when the job market was really not great. And so what prepared me was this ability to seek out mentors and really put my nose down when I needed to learn and also know it was okay to make a mistake. I think that has been probably the biggest way I've been prepared through working at ATG. And it was also very helpful. In my previous careers, I required a lot of mind share in a variety of different topics at the same time. So being able to do multiple things at once without not focusing appropriately or giving the right attention to certain details.
Maybe I'll add on a little bit just to that. I think we all had to be agile and dynamic. I mean, we were playing multiple roles and wearing multiple hats as we got this company really off the ground here in Missoula. And I think that still points to the character of people that we hire. Kim, as you mentioned just a little bit ago, but it's all the skills we had to embody. We had to be adaptive. We had to be agile. We had to be willing to learn, willing to take risks, challenges, stretch our comfort zone. That's still the people we want. And it's definitely the group of people that made this thing happen.
You both have been around since the genesis of the company. When you both came on board, you were part of the nucleus. Looking back, what things did the company do that maybe they could have done differently?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. First and foremost, maybe no regrets, right? We've ended up where we've ended up because of the moves we've made. And I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of that in the first place, right? You've got to live with those decisions. Hindsight's always a little bit more pure. It's always a little bit more in focus, and it's easy to look backwards. There's definitely decisions that we've questioned along the way, but they've turned out to be the right decisions anyway. So I can't pinpoint one.
I can't either, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure there's dozens.
I know that there's something. We're not perfect, but I think the biggest thing is each time that we maybe took a misstep, we really quickly corrected as a team and said, okay, this isn't working, so how can we make it work? Or actually, we don't like the direction, let's make sure we change. But it was always that team coming together and reviewing it and analyzing and always finding ways to make it better.
And Arnie, maybe I'll give you one. I think that we've actually talked about as a team quite a bit. It's when we made a hiring move on folks that on paper looked good, or they were senior in the industry, but you just got a different feel for them when you met them for the first time, or we didn't meet them. We hired them remotely because of a circumstance and we were growing quickly. Those were the ones that they didn't work out. Almost 100% didn't work out. And so I think the lesson there for us that we've adapted to is you do hire based on the character of the person, and great if they have the skill sets, but not the other way around.
You can teach skill sets, but you can't teach character. Yep. Maybe that's the lesson that came from that. You talk about making decisions as a group. Is group decision-making slower or faster than just, you know, leaving it up to one person?
I think it depends on the decision, but something that we value is everybody's input. And we used to meet a small team of us every Monday and get together and just say, like, what's going on? And where, how are people feeling? And what are they thinking? And what should we change about that? Or not change about that, but change to get it going a better direction.
Trust was going to be my answer. There's times where we needed to make group decisions and have everybody's voice in there. And then there's other times where it was one or the other of us that said, hey, I think this is the way we need to go, and here's why, and put an idea on the table. And there's a lot of, okay, we trust each other, and we went in that direction. So I think both were true, right? There's group decision-making, there's individual decision-making where the rest of the team said, okay, let's go that way and take that route of one of the person's ideas. So a little bit of both.
Lots of technology changes have happened since 2011, from the cloud to blockchain technology, AI, artificial intelligence. How do you stay on top of all of that and then integrate that into your services that you provide your customers?
Yeah, first, it's hunger and passion of the people, right? It's one of the things that I think we do better than others is staying in front of emerging trends and understanding where that proverbial puck is going. And we've got a whole team of people. All of the ATGers care about the thing they're doing. They're not doing it as a job. They do it because they're quite passionate about the stuff that we're into. And so they just naturally stay in front of these trends like blockchain or other. The magic behind that, though, is once you're ahead of the trend or you understand what's coming and you're on top of the new information and you're staying current, how do you disseminate that? And I do think that's one of the things that we've done at ATG better than most. It's one of the things that's really separated us is our ability to get information into the hands of the people all across our company and really have everybody on the same page.
How big do you think you can become here in Missoula?
That's a fun question. There's definitely now with Cognizant involved, there's definitely a Cognizant reality and a Cognizant, an ATG company, if you think about it that way. And then there's ATG, a Cognizant company. Both will exist here in Missoula. And I think there's a lot of promise for the community and the things that we can do here. So Cognizant's got their eyes on what could they do with the available talent pool and the mechanism of the university that's coming out of here, as well as some of the infrastructure that we've kind of put together. ATG, for the offerings that we do, this quote-to-cash stuff, that is just starting to hit its growth stride. We've been a hot company, just getting hotter, and so that will grow here in Missoula a lot.
How does the interface with Cognizant work?
You're looking at it. It's really Tom and myself and a handful of others. Lots of people are connected. But as we facilitate business of what we do and what they do, and we kind of intersect those two, there's a pretty small handful of us that are managing that connection. But then for HR and for recruiting and for knowledge sharing and for philanthropy and for all those other things, there's multiple other connection points.
I know there's ATG Group, the quote to cash business, and there's now ATG, the Cognizant company. What does the future look like for that entity?
Quote to cash really is still a very hot space. Once you understand it, and I know it's an obscure term, we'll definitely continue to grow there, but we'll expand those services under Cognizant. So things that are just left and just right, just north and just south, things that in the past we said would be distractions if we took them on. Now we've got the bandwidth, the means, the backing, and several of the other things we needed in order to chase those opportunities. So what does ATG, a Cognizant company, look like? It definitely looks like a bigger, faster version of itself, but also taking on new offerings that were just adjacent that we've previously let go to competitors.
So it'd be fair to say that both of you and maybe the rest of the staff feel optimistic about this change and this growth rather than see it as daunting. You see it as a unique opportunity?
I see it as a very unique opportunity. I think that the attitude around the office and the various office locations has been a lot of excitement. The opportunity that comes with Cognizant is, it's really hard to wrap your mind around it. So I think people are just looking at what that opportunity could mean, not only for them personally, but for the company and the impact that we are getting to have on the Missoula community itself and the University of Montana. And I would say more than anything, people are just excited about that. Nobody really knows exactly what next year, June, looks like or what 2 years from now in February looks like, but we didn't know what it looked like before. So this acquisition just opens a lot more doors.
Well, in an indirect way, this brings one of the top 10 fastest growing technology companies in the world into Missoula, Montana.
That's right.
Maybe we should take a minute and talk about what Cognizant as a entity does.
Mm-hmm. That's a big answer. And so I'll answer it and say they do just about everything that companies need in order to manage their technology and their decisions. Everything from the front end and designing what a product could look like that you or I use on our smartphones, all the way to the very, very back end and how they manage revenue or customer relationships and customer service, as well as hosting and, I mean, everything in between. Cognizant really is a full service digital experience company, full life cycle from advisory all the way down to managing, you know, customer service opportunities.
You both came out of the University of Montana, and you've alluded to relationships with the University of Montana. What is that experience like on an ongoing basis?
We have a couple of different avenues. We work very closely with the professors and the staff and faculty in the business school. Tremendous people, very passionate as well about their students and their students continuing to do good beyond graduation. So I'll actually let Claude speak specifically to a couple of the courses that we offer. But not only are we close to the University of Montana, but also Missoula College. And what does a two-year program look like? And how can we make sure that people are getting ramped up quickly and can jump straight into a technology field? So those relationships have been great. And then, yeah, if you want to touch on the class.
Sure. You know, one of the things that we did work with the business school on, and I think this is different than how a lot of other private companies are working with public institutions like the university, we actually said, hey, are you teaching this kind of stuff in your classroom? What could that look like? And started that dialogue. And what it turned into was a desire to help graduating students from the business school at the University of Montana be more employable and frankly have a higher starting wage, whether they started at ATG or somewhere else. What that looked like was us taking one of the software companies that we work with, Salesforce, into the classroom and actually having ATGers teach part of that class with the intention of not making them purely just vocational and certified, but really have an understanding of how the modern world worked and not have antiquated stuff. The result is I think students are coming out of the University of Montana better prepared than most other universities, you name it, to adapt to the modern economy. They don't have to jumpstart themselves in the real world. They actually get a very tangible, very applicable footing from the University of Montana.
That's very important because in a number of contexts, I've had conversations where people want to learn about Bitcoin or they want to learn about cryptocurrency or they want to learn about blockchain, and there's not even a course to take. It's not taught at universities. There aren't enough people qualified to teach those things. So the fact that you've branched out and reached over and are actually teaching potential employees what they need to know is really very exciting and useful. What about the interface with other technology companies in Montana? It's probably one of the fastest growing sector in the state. How do you work or interface with the other people in your industry?
We work really closely with the technology companies. We call them our friendlies in the state of Montana, because if Onyx Maps is doing well, if Submittable is doing well, if we're doing well, then we're all doing the right thing, especially for the Montana economy. So recently, actually, we've partnered with Onyx Maps to host our first public networking event for ATG SHE. And there was a big push and initiative on how can they also support women in technology and what are we doing and what could they learn from that. So it's been a really cool partnership and relationship. And we had about 15 to 20 companies from this western half of the state that were all focused in technology attend this session. And just for people to realize that we're all kind of going through the same thing and there's no reason to do it in a silo, but we can actually support each other outward. So I'd say that's probably been one of the best takeaways from working together. We work closely with the Montana High Tech Alliance. You name it, we've got a pretty good pulse with team members throughout the state in a variety of different areas.
Yeah, and I think why that's important, I mean, the passion for a lot of us and the Montana part of the story was for the whole state to do well. create opportunities for people who wanted to stay here to be able to stay here and not have to leave. Or if they did leave and, you know, they were born and raised here and left somewhere, there's an opportunity for them to come back and have legitimate, great paying jobs that weren't just based on the local economy. At the same time, I think what we want with our partnerships with all these other companies around the state are nobody wants a 10,000 person thing to just land here and disrupt a community and drive wages down. I think working together, we're really creating Montana reputation for how companies in the technology sector work here in Montana. And that's exciting. That's the why behind the why, if you will.
Finally, let me go back to the customer that you serve. You know, you have to gain their trust. And part of gaining their trust is built on giving them outcomes that are useful and effective. How do you focus on that?
Yeah, I'd say it's been the focus since we really started. And I think anybody who doesn't have the client's outcome as a focus is kind of missing the mark, right, on how to really build a business or build a sustainable, successful business. We do many things. We install software, we write software, we do process engineering, we do change management. These are all the things that we do. But at the end of the day, the reason why clients are willing to spend money with us and trust us with their initiative is because we are focused on helping them get to their outcome. They're trying to purchase an outcome. They're not trying to purchase a project. And so I think through all the services we do, through the mentality that we keep when we're working with a client, we take that trust pretty seriously. And yeah, it's helping them get to their finish line. And ultimately, you know, that's one of the best sales mechanisms too. If you help them do that, and if you're focused on that, they'll tell other people. And that's been a big part of our story.
Kim, Claude, it's very exciting times at ATG. And we look forward to how the future unfolds for you and what it means for the Missoula community. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arnie. Thanks for having us.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time to Can Do, when our guest will be Brigida Freer, Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center, discussing with me the role Montana plays in the global marketplace. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com.